Hey, what's good, everybody? It's your man, Retro, man. We dropping a new episode today. Sports episode on my Indianapolis Colts, man. Checking in with you guys. Been a minute. Yeah, tough loss, guys. Tough loss with the Colts. I believe third game in a row. Second or third game, please forgive me. Yeah, man, and we're here to address problems with the team, along with breaking everything down, not just going all over the place. So first talks we're going to jump into is Ballard. Our front office, man. Front office is key, man. I believe top on going from the top and then going down on the board just to figure out where the problem started at. Some people say, let's start from the bottom. I'm like, no, let's start from the top. I'm just looking at everything today and especially looking at Twitter feeds, you know, giving a shout out to all the people on Twitter, giving great insight. This is what's helping me put this content together for this episode. So let's dive in on Ballard, man. Once again, Ballard failed to add depth to the roster, you know, add roster depth. Especially at the cornerback position, especially giving Gus Bradley, you know, inexperienced guys to put in the game, knowing well, which I know Gus Bradley probably felt like this is not going to end well, especially with injuries and everything like that. And it's not even that. It's just having enough depth on the roster where if guys get hurt, people are very collective with the defense and how they run everything and how everything is set instead of just throwing rookies out there in their first time. Yeah, and then on top of that, Ballard just, like I said, not answering to key positions such as our wide receiver, such as our O-line, such as our just a lot of things across the board that I can go into and I can really break down. And such as making like big moves, like, you know, like for an example, when we drafted, Quinton Pay, great defensive player from Michigan, very great. But I felt like we could have used that first round pick to find a left tackle. You know, those are the valuable things, like, hey, let's answer key positions and not play fantasy because it's what we like. Like, let's find key positions. And like I said, Quinton Pay is a great player, but I felt like Ballard really should have got a left tackle that first round. And we left a really good left tackle on that first round. And you guys can check out the notes and look at how those left tackles are improving. And, you know, just not being able to answer the passing, like, you know, I'm not saying you go get the top best wide receiver, but, you know, you look at how such as the Eagles, they got A.J. Brown. The Dolphins went and got Tyreek Hill. The Bills got Diggs, you know. Mahomes got killed in the Super Bowl and against Tom Brady. And guess what? Andy Reid in the front office answered, say, hey, what really hurt Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl was their left tackle position. Guess what? They fixed it and they end up bouncing back. Those are the crucial things is answering, you know, and that frustrates teams, especially like the Colts. You know, you're not addressing key positions and you just refuse to do it. You know, those are the main things that Ballard has to be accounted for, along with just having everything. And then, like, you know, with the injury of Anthony Richardson, you can't give Anthony Richardson the same offensive line that Matt Ryan had. So with that being put down, it's like, yeah, wow. You know, we're looking at everything. And it, like I said, it really boils down to Ballard. And you're looking at everything and you just going through the list. Like, you know, when you look at, you know, Isaiah Rodgers getting suspended, you know, Flowers tearing his Achilles, Juju Brent getting hurt, you know, what could have Ballard done? He didn't, like you say, you didn't address anything, you know, you signed some players, but, you know, I think a player named Daryl Baker, you know, helped the Colts at the game versus the Browns, which allowed Tony Brown to allow like 7 receptions and 7 targets for like 187 yards. And the touchdown versus the Saints, which was yesterday. So all these things that boils down to it, you have like Ballard has the philosophy to like, hey, I could find a guy later in the round. You know, I could find a guy that we can put together, you know, and it's like, got to strike while the iron's hot. And I personally feel like Ballard is a key position. And people say, well, I just feel like Ballard's not the problem. No, Ballard been the problem. You know, after watching Hard Knocks, you know, speaking about when they were speaking about the when we had Frank Wright, I remember they showed the episode and you guys can check back on it on HBO Max. Check it out. Hard Knocks with the Colts. He turned around and said, Ballard knocked on Frank's door and said, hey, do you want to bring in Carson Wentz? That was the fall of everything. Some people might not like it. You know, you might not care too much about it, but it's the truth. Because I believe that pick that we end up giving to Philly end up being the pick for them to land AJ Brown. So you kind of see the drift of everything that's going on, and you just like, wow, damn, this is kind of becoming a headache. I mean, because you as a GM, I believe you're now out of 6 seasons, you're 2-6. It's not good, you know. It's 2-6. And, you know, and I'm not going to too much blame a lot on Shane because this is first time. But the one thing I'm tired of is I'm tired of recyclable coaches, you know, as a fan of the Colts for years. But like slowly just being a fan of the game and not being a super fan anymore. You kind of look at things where I'm tired of the recycling coaching tree. Like, let's get somebody new, young. Like people say, oh, well, Shane, I'm tired of the Philadelphia coaching tree. I'm tired of the New England coaching tree. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The only coaching tree that has shown improvement has been the Cal Shanahan coaching tree. And they have improved, and they have shown, such as OC with Houston. Houston is like, I believe, number 3. In the division, might be 3 or 2. Don't get me wrong. You know how their OC turned around CJ Stroud, or how the coach coach for Green Bay with Jordan Love, and of course, you know, McDaniels with Miami, how he turned that team over very quickly. You look at those things and you say, wow, that was a coaching tree. That was a good coaching tree. But the Philly coaching tree needs to stop. I personally feel like the mastermind behind the philosophy of Philadelphia is Howie and Doug Peterson, period, point blank. You know, Doug Peterson came in and turned and changed everything quickly. Like, I feel like everything that he built, of course, everything he built in Philly is him. So, I mean, the man won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. So that should tell you a lot. And just jumping back into, especially, and we're going to touch on players as well. You know, I'm looking at Minshew. You know, I don't know, the day they said Minshew was going to be the starter is going to be us walking to possibly getting Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, because Minshew, I personally feel like, you know, especially fans in Indianapolis, like they said, oh, we like Minshew. I said, yeah, that's the problem. You like Minshew, but you like him for the reasons of character and personality. But when is Indy going to like start? Hey, what is the talent wise? Because you've disappointed us at the game after game. Some people say, well, if you look at the points scored and you look at, I say, no. Minshew is not the guy. And of course, I know Sam is not that guy, but we need to protect Anthony Richardson better, even though some people get mad and say, oh, well, no, Anthony Richardson, you know, he was he should have slid. I'm like, yeah, but how can you slide when you're getting tackled from behind? And on top of that, Bob Cooter as well. That's the guy I personally feel like the guy I really want to touch base on is how do you throw the ball 55 times? Like, how does that even out? 55 times. And you have a top five dual threat running back core in the backfield. I don't get that. I don't get that at all. And that's where I look at, like, OCs, where this old traditional style comes in at. And I'm slowly getting to the part, of course, we're at a rebuild because we're looking at everything and we're just sitting here saying, damn, you know, we're putting together the pieces to try to win, to try to put together pieces, to try to compete. But right now we're not competing. We're not competing one bit. We have, and the problem is the pieces that we need are pieces that should have been solved 4 years ago. Those pieces should have been solved a long time ago, and it's based off of, you know, I'm a big person. I'm not a big analytics and a data person. I'm based off of the eye test and looking at potential talent. Some people might beg to differ, but I only like the analytics when it comes to a field goal kicker. So, yeah, just touching bases on that and just sitting there wondering, because now I'm reading on Twitter, people are saying, you know, Tony Brown should be cut. Gus Bradley should be in the hot seat. And, you know, Chris Ballard is the blame for the lack of corner depth. I only agree with one of those statements. And the reason why. Tony Brown should be cut. Yes and no. Because he was put out there too early. You know, you put him out. We traded away Stephon Gilmore because we felt like we can go with a young core that can be starter ready. And this core wasn't ready. Wasn't ready at all. Gus Bradley in the hot seat? No. Hell no. Gus Bradley should not be in the hot seat. Gus Bradley should just be sitting there saying, hey, Ballard gave me what I can get, and this is what I have to coach with. And that's said and done. Chris Ballard most definitely is the blame for the lack of corner depth. He's been the blame for the lack of depth through the whole roster. We've had injuries. That's the thing. From us having what we used to have, like I can break it down to you, in which is the good old days when we had Dungy and Bill Polian. When we stepped away from Edgerrin James, we had Dominique Rose. When we stepped away from Marvin Harrison retired, not to let me bounce back. When we stepped away from Edgerrin James, we had Dominique Rose. When Dominique Rose stepped back, we had Joseph Addai. Then when Joseph Addai stepped away, I think we got Dominique Rose back along with Kid and Keith. So we had that as well. When Marvin Harrison retired, guess who we had? We bounced back with Pierre Garçon. Then we had Brandon Stokely. We bounced back with Austin Cowley. Along with Reggie Wayne, we had T.Y. at the time. We had the depth to back everything up, along with any other key positions, such as, you know, like David Thornton, Gary Brackett, you know, just the positions we was able to back up and go in and say, hey, if we lose this guy through old age or possibly contract negotiations, we have a guy that we have enough depth to back up what we can carry on the field. We don't have that. This one-for-one roster is killing the team. One-for-one Ross is good. You look at Miami. You would never thought, even though Jalen Ramsey tore his ACL, I'm damn sure McDaniels already, of course, had in place, like, you don't want to see nobody get hurt. You don't want to see none of your starters get hurt. But it's up to you and your job to make sure that, hey, I have guys that worked under veterans. Also, these guys can they also have the flow of the defensive position, to understand the coverage. Because if you just got somebody out there, you like, hey man, it's time to go out there, go play. That's not gonna be good, man. That's not gonna be good on anybody. You know, of course your job, of course we know in the workforce to throw people out there, and some people make it, some people can't. But yeah, those things are very, very crucial. You know, and one of our big roles, one of the big things I'm speaking on, especially the future of the team, especially on the defensive side, is Shaquille Leonard, a.k.a. the Maniac. Should he possibly look at his future such as how Adam Vinatieri looked at his future? Knowing it, is it time to hang it up when I start hurting the team and I can't produce and I can't play as once I once was? Because, hey, $99 million, that's a lot of money for a middle linebacker. And that is a very that is a big pill that I also look at Ballard as, you know, issuing out, which I'm not sure the details who made the offer, which I'm sure that both parties has agreed. But I have known Jim Mersey for giving full autonomy to his general managers, long as the results is him winning. If we win, if you make the decision and the decision is great, then okay. Then, and we are able to produce, but it's like, yeah, you haven't played in almost two seasons, which I know 75% of the contract is guaranteed, but 75% is still a lot out of almost out of 100 million. So, which is close to 20 million a year. That is a very key point, very, very key point. And we finally got our quarterback position together, thank God. But like I said, but it's a thing. But then we like, wow, he got hurt, so he has to recover from surgery. So yeah, man, we're looking at everything. And I want to hear feedback from you guys, man. I want y'all to check and listen to this episode. I want y'all to give me pointers. Like, let me know, like, am I speaking right? Because I'm addressing facts from media, I'm addressing facts from interviews, I'm addressing everything, especially even with down to our to the coaching part. Was this coaching a great hire? Was that a great hire? And hopefully that puts us in the seat to understand, like, are we actually winning? Like, we cannot win by spending the bare minimum, you know, and especially the offensive line. You know, I love the offensive line, but we're the highest paid line in the league. So, you know, looking back, even though Ryan Kelly has allowed close to zero sacks, I'm not sure how many sacks, But like I said, also with injuries, and that's the problem. This, like I said, the one-for-one roster is really hurting the team. You know, of course, everybody goes into the season wanting everybody to be healthy. Of course, everybody, we want everybody to play every game. We want everybody to push for every game because, you know, it just gets worse after worse. You know, we got our Isaiah getting suspended. Rodgers getting suspended. Flowers Achilles tear. You know, Juju Brent's getting hurt, along with our defensive lineman taking illegal substance, and Ballard putting together this under mediocre cornerback team to play under a defensive back team to go up against, you know, this high power offense, along with Derek Carr still being a good quarterback. And, you know, pretty much it literally looked like an NFL team was playing against a college DB, you know, like freshman college DB, and it just looked terrible. And, you know, especially as some fans and season ticket holders, I've known that they're hurt. I know that they're upset, you know. And like I said, I'm not here to badmouth the team, but one of the things I'm getting to the comfort of saying in the most professional manner is that it's time for, you know, Jim Irsay to, you know, part ways with, you know, with Ballard. Chris Ballard, it's time to part ways. Eventually might have to part ways even with Shane in the next 2 years. Even though people say, well, it's Shane's first year. Yeah. You know, it's time. Because like I said, when a new GM comes in, will he like the coaching staff that the team have? Will he like it? Hell, he might not even like the quarterback. He might not even care for Anthony Richardson. You know, because the first thing, because if Ballard if Ballard is fired, when a new general manager comes in, he's going to do an audit of everything. And of course, the fans, the first person that's going to be on the top of the list of the financial audit is Shaquille Leonard. Or the one thing I felt like and Ballard has done some good. Or the first thing I feel that Jim should do is appoint a team president. Appointing team presidents, I personally feel like a lot of GMs should appoint team presidents because presidents also look at the best interest of the fans, also look at the best interest for the team, along with the finances. Like, hey, because I personally feel like if we had a team president would not agree to pay a middle linebacker $100 million. No, never. I personally feel that way. So, yeah, man, let's see how the season goes. Let's see how it looks. I'm personally looking at it as not good. I'm possibly seeing us high in the draft. Hey, man, thank you guys for checking in with Retro Man on this episode of Indianapolis Colts. Tune in for the next episode. I'll be looking for you guys' replies. All right, man. Peace.